A man by the name of John went to visit his 90-year-old grandfather, whom he hadn't seen for years. His grandfather lived in a very rural area of Saskatchewan, Canada. It was this guy who went to visit his grandfather. He lived in a very rural area of Canada. After spending a great evening chatting the night away, the next morning, John's grandfather prepared a breakfast of bacon, eggs, and toast. However, John, as he sat down to eat, noticed there was a film-like substance on his plate, and he questioned his grandfather, asking, "Are these plates clean?" His grandfather replied, "They're as clean as cold water can get them. Just go ahead and finish your meal, sonny." For lunch, the old man made some hamburgers. And again, John was concerned about the plates, as his appeared to have tiny specks around the edge that looked like dried egg, and asked, "Grandfather, are you sure these plates are clean?" Without even looking up, the old man said to him, "Sonny, I told you before, those dishes are as clean as cold water can get them. Now don't fret about it. I don't want to hear another word about it." A little later in the day, John was on his way to go visit some other families in a town nearby. As he went to leave his grandfather's home, his grandfather's dog started to growl and wouldn't let him pass, to which John yelled and said, "Grandfather, your dog won't let me get to my car." Without diverting his attention from what he was doing, the old man shouted, "Cold water, go lay down, do you hear?" The dog's name was Cold Water, just in case anybody missed that. Well, good morning. I just want to give you kind of a heads up. We just finished a series leading us up to Easter that we entitled How to Worship a King. And as you know, Pastor Josh and Scott last week shared some lighthearted moments with us. Although I thought it was very, very to the point and very good. But over the next number of weeks, probably till sometime in the early part of June, mid-June, we are going to be doing a kind of a hodgepodge of things. We've got Mother's Day coming up. We've got some other guests that are coming into town and whatnot. So we're just going to be doing a number of different things. But beginning sometime probably in June, we're going to be doing a verse-by-verse look at the book of Philippians that we're entitling Satisfied, and you're going to like it a lot. Today, I'd like to share with you a thought. Somebody took my clicker. Josh, what happened to the clicker? It's back where? Okay, got it. All right, I'm going to share a thought with you that I am entitling Life Water. Life Water. Many of you know that I was just recently on an adventure that took me to the state of South Dakota. And one of the things that you notice when you cross, in our country, when you cross the Mississippi River and you begin heading west from there, the landscape starts to change. And once you get to the more western part, and especially as you start moving into South Dakota and further west from there, one of the things that you will notice, I've got a picture right here for you, is that a lot of the area is dry and arid, even brown or beige in color, except for where water flows. Now, as it turned out, we were in an area where the Missouri River flowed through. This is actually what I'm showing you is a picture of the Missouri River and the area right next to the river there. I hope you can see from this picture that if you notice right by the river area, everything is green. Do you see that? I wore green today for this sermon, okay? So it got green by the river. We actually have trees, but the further you move away from the river or the stream there, do you notice that it gets more brown and there's just no trees there? so forth and so on. Now, I have never been to Israel. I don't know if I'll ever get there, but in hearing people who've been there and they travel back and tell us what it's like there, one of the things that I've heard about is that a lot of the landscape and a lot of the countryside in Israel is similar to what it's like in western parts of our particular country. And so I have another picture for you, and I want you to notice the similarities here. This is a picture of the River Jordan in Israel. And you'll notice in a very much similar way, you'll notice the green beside the river, but as you move away from the river, it gets more brown and dry. And do you see that in the picture? Okay, great. So anyways, I have a simple proposition to give to you this morning. My proposition to you today is simply this, that as in the natural, where rivers run, there is life, so in the spiritual, those who are in close contact with the river will be experiencing life. I asked Scott last week when we sat in a service, I know I'd heard the song on the radio somewhere along the way, but I think last week was the first time that we had actually sung it here at Pioneer. Last week when we were doing worship, we were singing that song about being in the river, or I think it's in, is it say in the river? Alive in the river. I began to think about my experience in South Dakota here just a couple weeks ago, and I realized that as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Just like when we were there in South Dakota, and you could notice that as you went down to the river, that area along the river was teeming with life. Not only the foliage, but I noticed that all of the ducks and all of the wildlife, all of the deer, all of the turkeys, they were all hanging out next to the river. The further you got away from the river, you saw nothing. It was barren. It was bleak. There were, I'm sure if you looked hard, there was probably some snails or something someplace. But it wasn't obvious to my sight. But when you went near the river, it seemed like everything that was interested in living showed up at the river. This principle that I'm touching on this morning is replete throughout Scripture. I want to take you to a couple of passages in the Old Testament and why this should make more sense to us is that the people in the Old Testament were incredibly dependent upon water. They were incredibly dependent upon the rivers and rain and any kind of sense of water that God would give to them. And so Jeremiah, when he was writing his prophetic word, he said this, one passage is really long, I want to read to you, but this is a short one here. This is what the Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in his fellow man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Listen to what he'll be like. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where there is no life. But then he goes on to say, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Now, that's in Jeremiah. I want to just turn over, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me. This is a more lengthy passage, but it's in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. And Ezekiel, as he's getting a download from God, as God's talking to him about some things, he writes down one of the visions that he sees. And I want to read that part to you. It says in verse 47, verse 1, the man, meaning the messenger of God, brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from the threshold of the temple toward the east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, the south side of the altar. Then he brought me through the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. Now, I'm going to pause right here, and I'm just going to tell you what the next couple of verses say. But as he's investigating this river, he realizes that at the very beginning stage of the river was ankle deep. But every time he went about 5 football fields, about 1,500 feet, every time he went, they kind of checked the depth, and it went from ankle deep to knee deep to waist deep to the final thing. He says the river was so deep that I could only swim across it. In other words, he couldn't touch the ground. You know, when you're in a pool and you go, you know how a pool goes, right? But you go from the shallow end, right? I can barely touch the ground at the shallow end. But anyways, I said, Jeff, which end are you going to swim? I say, my feet just touch in the shallow end. I think they're about 4 feet deep at the shallow end, right? I just got my head above the water right there. So anyway, but you know how a pool works, where you check it out. This river that Ezekiel saw from its source kept gaining in depth and momentum. I want you to remember that. So then he goes down here and he says, then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, this water flows from the eastern region and goes down through Araba, where it enters the sea. It empties into the sea. The water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish because I read that, Dave, just for you. That's where you want to go fishing, right there. You want to, right where this river hits the ocean, it says there'll be swarms of living creatures that live there where the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Can you just say that with me? Where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from the Engedi to the Englam or something like that. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. Verse 12 says, fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve as food and their leaves from healing. Now, I want to read that to you because I want to establish this idea that where the river flows, there is life. We read about it as Jeremiah was prophesying about it. We have this vision that Ezekiel sees from God. And God obviously wants us to get this notion that when you're close to the river or in touch with the river or in the river, there will be life. When you move away from the river or you're not in contact with the river, there won't be life. You got it? Now, I want to take you over and remind you of a couple of instances in the New Testament. The first one I want to draw your attention to is when Jesus said he was going down to Samaria and he came to a place where there was a well. It's in chapter 4. And it said there that he was tired from his journey. And he sat down, obviously looking to get some water, something to drink at this well. And a woman happened to come by, right? Maybe just not happen to come by. Maybe there was some planning and all that. But this woman showed up. And Jesus asked this woman for a drink. And they have this conversation about him asking her because she's a woman. And not only a woman, but a Samaritan woman. And Jesus said, well, if you really knew who you were talking to, I would give you something to drink that would satisfy you like you've never been satisfied before. And he ends up saying these words. I've got them for you right here on the screen. Here, let me find them. It says, Jesus answered, anyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring water welling up to eternal life. The woman then said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here for water. You got it? Again, I want you to notice now in the New Testament this connection between water and life. Water and life, right? Now, I'm going to take you to the final one that I want in Scripture that I want you to look at. And this is a passage a couple chapters later in chapter 7. This says in verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water, can you say that with me? Streams of living water will flow from within him. Have you got it? I hope you've got it so far. Water equates to life. No water, no life. Got it? If you're near the river, things fare well for you. If you're far away from the river, not so much. Now, I want to talk about this particular incident for just a moment and try to make more sense of it. It says here in this verse that Jesus did this on the last day of the feast. Do you see that? The last and greatest day of the feast. This feast that we're referencing, if you go back to the verse 1 of chapter 7, you will find out it's called the Feast of the Tabernacles. It's also called the Feast of the Ingathering or Sukkoth. It was one of the three big celebrations that Israel did during their annual, I'll say it this way, their annual church calendar, right? Like for us, our biggies are like Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, Thanksgiving, but you know, some of them are cultural things that we do. But anyways, as it pertained to Israel at this moment, this celebration was 8 days long, right? It was an eight-day long festival. And it particularly pertained to celebrating God's provision for them while they were 40 years in the wilderness. And specifically, what they were giving praise and thanks to God about was how he miraculously supplied food for them in the form of manna from heaven and water for them coming out from a rock. Are you with me? So here they are, they're having this festive occasion, and they're thanking God for how faithful he was to them for the 40 years they spent in the wilderness. But the other thing this celebration was about, this Festival of Tabernacles, Feast of Tabernacles, was they were also prophetically looking forward to the coming of the Messiah who would supply for them all of the internal thirst that they had. Are you with me? Like he's going to come, and not just him alone, the person and work of the Holy Spirit will come and satisfy their deepest longings. That's what they're doing at this 8-day celebration. Now, during this time of the feast, during the time of Jesus, the feast was celebrated in Jerusalem. And for 7 days, what would take place was they would go and take large volumes of water from the pool of Siloam, and they would then transport it to the temple and pour it out at the foot of the altar. Remember that vision that I read to you from Ezekiel? And how he saw water coming from the altar in the temple? Well, this celebration right here, the Feast of Tabernacles, they would take water from the Pool of Siloam and they would take it up to the temple and they would dump it out on the one side of the altar. Remember the issue when we read there in Ezekiel that it was the particular side of the altar, the south side of the altar? Here in this feast, They would take the water up and they would dump water out on that side of the altar. It would flow out from the altar and down the stairs. It would remind them of two things. One, how God brought water from the rock to more than amply supply their physical needs. Are you with me? Okay, now, on the other side of the altar, they would take large volumes of wine, and that wine would be poured out on that side of the altar, and it would also form, if you will, a river or a stream as it poured out from the temple. That was to symbolize to them the coming of the Holy Spirit. It was based on Isaiah 44:3, which says, I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring, my blessing on your descendants. So there it is, for 7 days in a row, the people would gather and the priests and others would get the water and the wine, and they would dump it out at the altar of the temple, and it would flow down, it would cascade down the steps, and it was to serve as a reminder. But you'll notice this says on the last and greatest day of the feast, right? This is the eighth day. It's an eight-day celebration. This is the eighth day. The eighth day, they would not do the same thing. In fact, they wouldn't fill up their vats with the water or bring their containers of wine to be poured out. On the eighth day, it was simply like, if you will, it was like a closing ceremony where the word of God, the law would get read, and there would be some music being played, and they would just celebrate a great week that they had in God. It is believed that at this moment, when there was no water or wine flowing, is when Jesus himself stood in the midst of the people and said, listen, anyone who is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the Bible, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. What's happening here? Jesus, as he's standing there making this public declaration, is saying two things. Number one, I am the Messiah that you were looking for. And number two, I've come to give you a flow of the Spirit that is never ending. And the rest of you? All right, just checking, seeing if you're there. Seeing if you're there. I want to again draw your attention to the idea that life and water are inseparable in the natural, and therefore are for sure inseparable in the supernatural. You cannot have life and be away from the water. Jesus says, he says, listen, if you're wondering how to thrive, if you're wondering how to survive, then you need to come to me. In fact, he says, anyone. Say that with me. Anyone. At that moment when he's saying this, let's think about who's there. The people there on this particular occasion were people who lived nearby. They were people who lived far away. They were rich people and poor people. They were saints. They were sinners. Anyone meant anyone. In fact, it even meant the people that he knew were plotting his own demise. Anyone who comes to me. Anyone. This morning, here we are gathered. We're a mixed group, right? We've got some poor, we've got some not so poor, we've got people with and without, we've got people who came a long distance this morning, we've got some, like the Ameses, who live nearby, and the PCF annex of Arcade Valley Estates over there, right over there. That whole thing to the Lord, we're just saying that, right? The whole thing's for the Lord over there. Anyone means anyone. There's no restrictions. Anyone who thirsts. I want to talk to you about thirsting this morning. Anyone who thirsts. Most people get thirsty. I dare say all people get thirsty. Thirst in the natural is something that comes over us that causes for a desire in us to drink. They came out with this thing. I didn't know this till after I kind of dubbed what I want to say to you this morning. But Josh said, did you know that there's actually bottled water out there called life water? I said, no, I did not know that. And he said, you ought to go get a bottle of it. You could use it as a prop. So I did this morning. They're selling so poorly that when I was at Surefine this morning, they're trying to hawk them over there with some little display there. And I got this whole nice bottle and everything for $1, right? So their life water thing is not working out so well. Anyways, so here's how it works in the natural, right? Like if you're out doing stuff and whatnot, all of a sudden this sense comes over you, like, I really need a drink. And I'm not talking at a bar nearby. I'm talking about, you know, you're trying to quench your thirst, right? You're trying to, something, your mouth gets parched sometimes, or you just feel like, you know what I'm talking about, you just feel like, I need a drink, right? You look like I need a drink. No, I'm just kidding. right there. In the natural, God has wired us, He has built us in a way that our natural bodies thirst. We need something to drink. I was reading this week and found out that you know, for all of us, we usually come to that place of realizing, okay, I should probably have something to drink. But there are people who never recognize that moment and never do anything about it. And they actually go into what's called dehydration. And I was reading this week, do you know what one of the symptoms of dehydration is? You don't feel thirsty. Like when you go past that place of not recognizing your need for water and you slip into dehydration, all of a sudden your body starts to send some mixed signals and it's like you really aren't thirsty anymore. That's why people who are dealing with dehydration aren't grabbing water to drink. They've kind of passed through that thing there. But most people get thirsty. And what I'm suggesting to us this morning is that God has made it that way. He's made it so that we get thirsty in the natural, and He's made it so that we get thirsty in the spiritual. He's made us in such a way that He wants us to come to Him to find a drink, to get a drink. So what I want to talk to you about this morning are kinds of thirstings. Here it is right here. Let me give it to you. There it is. Different kinds of thirstings. Number one, the first one I want to talk to you about is the thirst of the empty soul. The thirst of the empty soul. The empty soul, you'll identify with this in just a minute. The empty soul is the person that has never tasted of the water Jesus has to offer. The empty soul is the one who looks to find fulfillment or satisfaction or a quenching of their thirst in all the things out there under the sun, but not God. And so this person finds themselves going from one thing to another thing, looking for their restlessness, which is really what our thirst is all about. It's a restlessness within, to try to have their restlessness satisfied. You've seen it, right? You've probably even experienced it. Where you know, well, if I get this thing, or I get that thing, or if that person, if I had that person in my life, or I had this person in my life, and then we just keep moving from one thing to another. If I have more of this and less heartache and all these things, we're trying to go from here to there, trying to deal with this thirst that God has wired us with. But I'm just here to remind us and tell us this morning that God has put this thing together in such a way that it doesn't matter it doesn't matter what you give yourself out to out there, you will never truly satisfy the thirst of your soul. It's called an empty soul. I want to talk to you about, number two, the thirst of a dry soul. Now, the difference between an empty soul and a dry soul is the empty soul doesn't really know what it's like to taste of the water Jesus talked about. The dry soul does. They know what it's like to have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. They know what it's like to have had a sip or a drink of this living water that Jesus spoke of. Someone may say right now, well, didn't Jesus say that whoever drinks this water will never thirst again? In other words, you could kind of get the idea that if I've had it once, I don't need it anymore. But I don't believe that's what Jesus was saying. Here's what I believe Jesus was saying. What I believe he was saying is that once you come and taste what I have to offer, all of that other stuff will pale in existence. I think that's the first thing he was talking about. I think the second thing he was talking about is that if you come and you really tap into the river I offer you, instead of you having to go out there, think of it this way, instead of you having to go outside or to out to the river, we're going to install inside plumbing in your heart so that you can get a drink whenever you need it. Indoor plumbing, that's a novel idea. Jesus said, I'm going to put a living spring right inside you so that whenever you need a drink, you can call on me, right? So we've got the empty soul, the person who's looking to find whatever it is they're thirsty for, or hungry for, finding it and all the stuff out there. And then we've got the dry soul. Now, the dry soul, how many of you have ever been dry before? Anybody been dry? Come on, it's an honest question. Been dry? You've tasted the Lord before, but somehow life happens and you get to that place where you just feel dry. Sometimes a dry soul is caused by what the Puritans called God desertions. The Puritans were some of the early Christians who landed here in America. And they referenced what I want to talk to you about here for a minute as God desertions. Now, they actually didn't believe like God deserted them, but they felt like that was the case. Like they knew God, they were following God, but it just seemed like the river was dry. Things weren't flowing spiritually well for them. And I just want to remind us this morning that the way I thought of it anyways is like, you know, the sun is always shining. Did you know that? Did you know the sun is always shining? But from our perspective, it doesn't always look like that. Like you'll meet somebody after we've had many cloudless days here in Western New York, and you'll say, do you think the sun will come out today? Well, the sun's always out. But it's covered by clouds. And sometimes in our spiritual walk and in our spiritual journey, our spiritual life feels like that. Like God hasn't went anywhere. It's like Jeannie said this morning, the sun hasn't moved away. It's still there. But stuff happens in life that the Puritans referred to as God desertion. It's like there's these clouds spiritually in my life. And when that happens, all of a sudden your heart should become yearning for the sun to come out or for the river to flow in your life like you desire. So sometimes it's that cloudy thing going on. Sometimes it's this from plain old fatigue, physical fatigue, where you're just worn down and all of a sudden you're just dry. Or sometimes, you know, as a Christian, even though we know God and we're trying to love Him, we've been looking at other places to find fulfillment in life rather than going and tapping into that river that the Lord has put before us. So anyways, we have the empty soul and we have the dry soul, but there's this other type of thirsting I'm going to call the thirst of the satisfied soul. This thirst is not a thirst that's born from emptiness or from dryness. It's a soul that thirsts for God because they have tasted and seen that the Lord is good and that it's such a unique flavor that they want more. You got one. The taste of the living water is so uniquely good that they want some more of it. They thirst for more. Thomas Shepherd, who was a minister during that Puritan period, he said this. He says, there is in true grace an infinite circle. He said, a man by thirsting receives, and receiving thirsts for more. It's like this thing, like okay, my soul is satisfied, but that was so good, I want some more. Right? Jonathan Edwards, many of you have probably heard his name before. He was a preacher during whatever period. The river of life, this is what he said. The river of life is of such a satisfying nature, and for that very reason, our soul tastes of it, knows its nature, and then thirsts after it more, that our soul might be fulfilled and satisfied by it. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, stop and think about this for a minute, he said the exact same thing. His cry multiple times in the New Testament was this, God, I want more of you. Now, we all know, if you read your Bible, you'll know that Saul had an incredible encounter with Jesus. Anyway, we totally know that his plumbing got put in there, right? We know that he had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had tapped in to this water that Jesus referred to. But that he still had a satisfied soul that thirsted for more. God, I want to know you. I'm going to ask, or Josh, you're coming back to the guitar. If you would do that for us this morning, I really appreciate it. Okay, so just in review, there can be no doubt, or there should be no doubt in your hearts and minds, that where the living water flows, there is life. Hello? Both in the natural and in the spiritual. We are so, listen, I forgot to say this. I wanted to say it at the very beginning. We are so used to around here, because it rains so much and we get so much snow and so on. You can be, around here, you can be a long ways away from the river and still be green. No, you can. I mean, it's green everywhere. But the conditions that Jesus lived in and people in the Bible lived in, we're not like that. It's like you better be close to the water if you're going to survive. Because the farther you get away from the water, it's barren, it's dry, it's lifeless in those places. My question to all of us today is, of these types of thirsts, where are you at? Where is your soul at? Are you here today with an empty thirst? Have you tried to find what it is your soul really longs for in everything out there but God? I want to invite you as a person who thirsts this morning, I want to invite you to accept the invitation that Jesus gave. He said, let him, her, whatever, come to me and drink. I want to invite you to accept that invitation to come to Jesus and allow him to be the one to satisfy your thirst. Or maybe you're here today, and when I talk to you about the dry soul, you're saying to yourself, you know what? I have felt like things just aren't what they once were. I don't feel full. I feel dry. I feel even empty in that way. Maybe you've been going through some stuff, either some temptive stuff, some temptation stuff, or maybe you've been going through some conflict stuff or just some crisis of some sort. Sometimes when you're going through that stuff, it can dry your soul up. I know Tracy Case said to me in one of my visits to her at the rehab place, she says, I just don't feel the Lord's as close as he normally is. Well, she was just going through some garbage. She's going through some junk. And we just had to seek God in that moment and say, Lord, let your river flow. Let your river flow in Tracy's life again. Maybe you're here today and it's something similar to that. I want to remind you, Jesus said, come to me. Come to me and drink. And have your deepest longings fulfilled. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, you know, Pastor, things seem to be flowing just well for me. Well, praise the Lord, you're a satisfied soul. But if God is really at work in your heart, then you know what I say when I say you want more. You want more of what the Lord Jesus promised us. Jesus says, come to me and have a drink. Come to me and allow your restlessness, allow your frustration, allow your striving to cease, and just drink great, great, great drafts of my living water. I want to say this, and I hope nobody will be offended when I do say this. But don't let a damn thing, and when I say damn, I mean D-A-M. You all thought I meant the other word. Don't let a damn thing keep you from drinking the living water that Jesus Christ offers you. You know, sometimes we allow things in our hearts to create barriers to receiving that fresh, life-giving flow of the Holy Spirit. Don't let a DAM thing keep you from receiving from Him. You know, Jesus ended up pouring His life out at the altar. The one who housed all eternity ended up pouring His life out at the altar so that you and I could drink freely, so both the water and the wine could flow freely to us. And as we ingest it and receive from Him, flow out through us to the dry and thirsty land that we find ourselves living. I want to just ask you this morning, I know this sounds, it's probably hokey. No play on words there. It may seem stupid to you, but I just really felt like God wanted us to have a drink of water this morning. And this morning I prayed over these containers. And I said, you know, let this water, it's natural in its nature, but let it serve a supernatural purpose in the hearts and lives of those who would drink it, Lord. So I'm just saying to us this morning, we're just going to go into a time of ministry and just being before the Lord. But if you're thirsty here this morning, whatever level of thirst, empty, dry, satisfied soul, and you just want more, more, Lord, I want You and I want more of You. I just want to invite you to come and to have a fresh drink from the living water of Jesus Christ this morning. If you've never tasted of it before, I'm telling you, once you open your heart to Him and let Him start putting in that internal plumbing inside of you, so that every day you awaken and say, Lord, thank You. Thank You. I already feel like You're satisfying my thirst, just knowing Your presence is at work in my heart and life. So I just want to pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for this great promise that You've given to us. Thank You for how You prophetically spoke about it throughout the Old Testament. Jesus, thank You for how you updated it and brought it to real life on that day in the temple, saying, you know, there might have been water and wine flowing a few days ago. It's not flowing now, but I'm telling you, if you want to experience the life-giving flow of God in your life, come to me. We're here this morning just bringing our lives to You again, asking for a fresh filling of Your life-giving water in our lives. Holy Spirit, come. Come and quench this thirsting of our soul. Come and settle once again all that restlessness inside of us that's always seeking here and there to find its satisfaction. Come and drink. Come and drink. Let your soul be satisfied with the life water that Jesus Christ has promised. Come and allow your heart to feed upon Him. Let Him be the one to satisfy your empty soul, to satisfy your dry soul, to yet even satisfy your satisfied soul. Come and drink from Him. Come and drink. River of God, Lord, as we drink from You, I'm praying just like that vision that Ezekiel saw in that temple, that abundance will go just like it did in that vision, from ankle deep to knee deep to waist deep, to such a flooding in our lives that we can't cross it in our own efforts, Lord. That You would fill us in such a way, God, just like You said, that there would come a bubbling out of our lives. That when we go out into the world from this place, Lord, we go to our jobs tomorrow, we go back to our families, we hang out in our neighborhoods, Lord, that there would be such an overflow of Your Spirit in our hearts and lives that it would just end up spilling out of us in both spirit and words. It would spill out of us to the dry and thirsty land that we live in, Lord. May we be agents of Your living water. May we be agents of Your Spirit to this world that we live in, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come and drink of the water that Jesus gave us. Spirit of the living God, fall upon us, I pray. There's more than enough cups here. I bought oodles of glasses, so you know you don't have to share with somebody. You know, it's a germ-free moment here. Just come and drink.